Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis, chapter 35, will remain standing. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. Genesis, chapter 35, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And again, let's read this passage together responsively. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel, dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise, and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan, that is, Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And let's finish together on verse 7. Ready? And he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Now, Holy Spirit of God, we need you this morning in a special way. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us. Would we listen with our ears to hear? Would we open our mind with a heart to know? And may we have our eyes open to see what we cannot see normally on our own. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to work through this sinful flesh, this preacher, who is as much in need of the truth as the people that will hear it today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Genesis 35, if you'll let me catch you up on the events that are taking place around it, I call the sermon this morning, El Bethel. El Bethel. Jacob, in haste, had to leave home one day. Jacob was a grown man. He was not a boy. But Jacob tricked his twin brother Esau. His brother Esau was out hunting while Jacob stayed home and made chili. Any boy that would rather stay home and cook than go out and hunt, something not right, amen? I'm for cooking, but you got to kill what you're going to cook, amen? And Jacob tricked his brother out of what is known as the birthright. The birthright was many faceted, and it involved more than just an inheritance. You ended up with a double portion of an inheritance, but also you had the priestly rights to the family. You also ended up with the bloodline for the Messiah to travel through your name. That is why to this day it's called the forefathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not Esau, though Esau was born first. It should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, but it was not. Now, Esau tricks his brother into buying his chili for his birthright. And not only that, he tricked his brother, tricked his father into getting the double portion of his father's blessing. And his mommy said, Jacob, you've tricked your brother. He's pretty mad. If you don't hurry up and get out of town, he's probably going to kill you. So you probably ought to leave. And he listened to his mommy and he left in a hurry. While running away, he stopped at a place. That place was called Bethel. Bethel. While he was at Bethel, and if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. While he was at Bethel, he wrestled with God one night. The Bible says he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Some have said that is an Old Testament appearing of Jesus. I have no idea. You say, well, was he touched by an angel? Yes, he was. The Bible says that he wrestled with God all night long and would not let him go till he said, look, you're going to bless me one way or the other. And the Bible says that the hollow of his thigh was touched and the sinew shrank, and Jacob had a hip problem from that day forward. And that was the proof of God's blessing on his life. Now, the word Bethel means house of God. It means house of God. So Jacob, on his way in haste, met God at a place called Bethel, or the house of God. Now, here's where he got himself right, decided to get himself going the right direction. 20 years have passed. It's been a long 20 years. Jacob's been afraid to go home. Say why? Because he thinks his brother's still mad at him, going to kill him. Jacob has attained two wives. He worked 14 years for two wives. You say, why did in the world did he do that? Well, he was only going to work seven for one, but she was the younger of the two, and daddy tricked him and gave him her older sister first and said, no, you got to take them in the right order. Man, what a bummer. She must have been a good-looking woman, because ain't no man going to work 14 years to get two wives, amen? Fortunately, he only had one mother-in-law out of the deal, so it wasn't as bad. But now, he's had several children. He has two wives. He's built two businesses and is taking one business with him. He built his father-in-law Laban's business, as well as built his own business. 20 years have passed, and he said, look, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. And he packs up his wives. He packs up his children. He packs up all of his belongings. He's moving his business. He was a herder, so he had a lot of animals and employees, and they're taking them on their way back. Jacob, again, is still a bit fretful how he'll be received back at home. What will his brother do? What will his brother say? Will his brother kill him? He remembers as he starts his journey, he's getting close to a place called Bethel. It's been 20 years. He hasn't been to this place called Bethel in 20 years, but he remembers the promises he made God 20 years before. He gets his family and his workers aside and says, in a little while, we're coming up on a place called Bethel. He said, it's time for us to get ourselves cleaned up. I met God there. The last time I was there, God was there. And we're headed back there. By the way, God's where you left him. He hadn't changed. You may have changed, but God hadn't changed. He said, it's time to get ourselves cleaned up. Time to get rid of. He found out that one of his wives and some of his servants brought their false gods and false idols with them. He said, hand them over. Hand them over. He said, I'm going to take care of them. He said, you're not going to meet the holy God of Israel. You're not going to meet Jehovah God and have false gods. Trust me. He said, turn it over. He said, it's time for us to have cleaned up our ways. The Bible says that they changed their clothes. Number one, they had clean clothes. Number two, I think they were probably wearing the wrong style of clothing. And he said, time for us to dress right. We're going to meet God. The Bible says they plucked out their earrings, and it was plural. Brother Gus was talking about going to IHOP at 3 in the morning and looking at the display of people that were there. You know, some of these people look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and lost. Amen? One day my daughter and I were somewhere, and I'm not sure what it was I was looking at, but it had hair going in every direction, multiple colors. And they must have had 15 or 20 things plastered into their skin all over the place. And they had tattoos everywhere. And we were just looking at it. And it said, you looking at something? I said, I'm looking at something. I just don't know what I'm looking at. My daughter, Daddy, what's it going to do? Hit me with its purse? Stop that. Good night. I said, look, if you don't want people to look at you, trust me, you did that for people to look at you. All right? Now, Jacob gets his workers and his family to clean up a little bit, and he takes their false idols, and the Bible says that he buries them under a tree. By the way, best thing to do with false gods is to bury them under a tree. Amen? And they go back to this place called Bethel. And Jacob again meets with God there. But I want you to notice something. He no longer calls it Bethel. He calls it El Bethel. Now, Bethel means the house of God. Beth meaning house, El meaning God. And he changes the name of Bethel to El Bethel, or the God of the house of God. The God of the house of God. Grace Baptist Church, this is the house of God. Now, just so you know, I, as your pastor, don't want you to have just a house of God. I want you to have an El Bethel. I want you to know the God of the house of God. This is not a museum. This is a hospital. We'll touch that in a little while here. I love this place. I want you to enjoy Grace Baptist Church. But 10,000 times over, I'd rather you know the God of the Grace Baptist Church than just know Grace Baptist Church. You see, I would like you to know the love of the real, true, living Jehovah God. I'd like you to know the real God of Grace Baptist Church. By the way, I'm not He. And you better be glad. I'm not God. I'm God's man. I'm God's microphone. I'm God's mouthpiece. But I'm not God. I am a man like you. I have sinful flesh like you. But can I tell you something? I know the God of Grace Baptist Church. Grace Baptist Church, God's not in the buildings. God has provided supernaturally this facility for us. And we've worked hard at upgrading and making it. If you've been with us for the last 2 years, we started in a hotel conference room, amen? We went from hotel conference room to different hotels, to different conference rooms, to rooms that weren't intended for as many people as we had. We broke fire code. We didn't care. We had church, amen? God supernaturally opened the door for us to get this building. Brother Taylor, we were chasing chickens off the windows out front the day we came to look at this building, amen? And the men will tell you, I said, dinner on the grounds. You chase the chickens, I'll fry them, amen? I'm not kidding. The owner showed up and said, "What are those chickens doing running around?" I said, "You're in West Virginia. That looks normal around here." It's not the new carpet. It's not the new paint. It's not the new chairs. It's not the improvements in the washrooms and the new paint and all the things we've done in there, or the new offices out front, or where we've moved the nurseries and about to get the painting done in there. God's not in the buildings, just so you know. I was teasing with somebody this morning and I said, "Don't worry, the roof won't fall down. If I can walk in, anybody can walk in." Can I tell you why God's not in the buildings? It's the God of Grace Baptist Church that's important. Now, I think this is God's house. I really do. I think we ought to treat God's house with respect. But may I say this, this building is not holy. This is not the sanctuary. Okay, you denominationalists that came out of formal denominations, can I tell you something? This auditorium is no different than your living room, other than it's God's living room. God doesn't dwell here. God dwells in the heart of every believer through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. It's not pretty windows that makes a church. Thank God. Some of you are going to laugh at this. It's the God of heaven that dwells in the people of this church that makes a church. Folks, there are a lot of pretty church buildings out there that call themselves churches, but they don't have God in them. There's pretty stained glass in many buildings that call themselves churches, but the stained glass never brought the presence of God to a church building. Did you know if you put stained glass windows in a barn, it doesn't make it a church? You say, that'd be pretty stupid. It wouldn't. It'd probably smell a little different. But can I tell you something? It would be no more holy. Windows don't make anything holy. Did you catch that? Oh, little over a year ago, my wife and I made a visit. Somebody came and visited our church, and they had a lot more money than anybody else sitting in this room right now. I mean, it was a fancy schmancy place. It was an estate. And I pulled up and went, oh no. My wife said, what? I said, this probably is not going to be good. I'm just an old country preacher. And here we are. And we go into the formal living room right off the formal front doors. And we sat in there. And they had, I'm not kidding, you can ask my wife, they had display cases of things that you would find in museums in their formal living room. And I mean art that was in there that was very costly. You say, were you comfortable? I wasn't uncomfortable. I just couldn't pronounce any of that stuff. They said, we enjoyed the spirit of your church. I said, thank you. We enjoyed the people of your church. I said, thank you very much. They said, but when are you going to get... She said, we've traveled all over Europe and we've been in some of the most beautiful churches over there. And you could tell God was in them because of all the stained glass. She said, are you going to remodel with stained glass? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I don't need stained glass to get the presence of God. We got the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. That didn't go over real well. Say, did they come back? They're not here today. I didn't do it to chase them away. But can I tell you something? If you got to have stained glass to have the presence of God, something's wrong. Yep. Something's wrong. Say, is there anything wrong with stained glass? Did you ever see some of the pictures in that stuff? Some of that stuff's really weird. By the way, Jesus didn't have long hair. Amen. He'd be breaking the word of God if he did. And by the way, might as well just get everybody mad at me today, Brother Gus. I don't believe Jesus had long flowing hair, wore a robe, and wiggled when he walked. I don't think he walked around saying, peace, love, and joy to everybody. Matter of fact, he walked into the temple one day, walked into the church house because people were making money in the church house for their businesses. And the Bible says he went outside, made a cat of nine tails, walked in, started cracking the whip, flipping tables upside down, and chased them out. That doesn't sound somebody that wiggles when they walk. You don't attract professional people to leave their businesses immediately by somebody that wiggles when they walk. Jesus was a tough man. He attracted men. Now listen to me very carefully. It was not a place. It was the God of the place that made the place what it was. Bethel was not special because it was a place. Bethel was special because the God that Jacob had met with at Bethel. It was the God of Bethel that made Bethel what it was. This church is not a museum where we put things and people on display. I've been into churches that were as cold as last winter. I've been in churches where you walk in and think you're walking into the Smithsonian. They've got all their artifacts and they've got all their treasures and it becomes a museum. And they say, oh, look at how wonderful this place is. And I'm thinking, this is like a funeral home. It's cold and dead. Our church is not going to draw people with fancy ways, fancy things. And we're not going to have all the high-tech, flashy lights, big screens. And you don't want to see this ugly face on a big screen anyway. It's bad enough in person. You don't need to see it flashed up on a 40-foot screen, amen? No comments. Our church is a hospital. Say why? Because men are sick by sin. Women and children are sick by sin and its effects. And we've got to have a place to go to let Dr. Jesus, the great physician, do some work on our spirits and our souls and so that God can meet with us. And Grace Baptist Church is not Grace Baptist Church alone. It's not the church building. It's the God of Grace Baptist Church. This is a church, but let's call it El Bethel, the God of the house of God. This is a special place. But can I tell you something? It's not the place. It's the God of this place that makes it special. Today, I want to show you what makes Grace Baptist Church an El Bethel, a place where the God of the house of God is. Number one, sin separated Jacob. Sin separated Jacob. Can I tell you something? Sin drove Jacob away from home. Sin drove Jacob away from what's right. Why is it that when people start doing wrong, the first thing they do is get out of church? Man, it's amazing. I knock on doors. Yeah, I used to go to church. What happened? Got into things I shouldn't get into, just never went back. You say, why? Our pride. Our pride. I'm not, got him. You say, why'd you do that? Because I didn't want to suck that puppy in. It's not time for lunch yet. All right? Can I tell you something? Sin separates homes. You say, you're old-fashioned. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But I'm sick and tired of watching sin destroy people's homes. Tired of what they watch on television and what they look at on their internet. Hello? Tired of what they look at in picture form and in video form and DVD form and whatever else they look at and what they bring into their homes and how it's destroying their homes. What happened to America when dad got home, it was time to be home. Now mom works. Now dad works. Now they do that to pay for a house that they don't even live at because they're trying to pay the bills. And Junior and Juniorette have more than what mom and dad had when they first got married. We got moms and dads working themselves into the ground to pay for new iPhones for their kids and pay for iPhones for them. Folks, and I know this isn't real popular, but there's not a teenager in the world that needs a new iPhone. Sorry. My daughter doesn't even have an email account. All of her friends say, what's your cell phone number? You can call my mom or my dad and talk to me. Oh, what's your Facebook? She doesn't have Facebook. She's supposed to have her face in this book. Well, she's almost 17 years old. Yeah, and she's still alive, isn't she? And doing quite well, I would say. Well, what's her email address? Mine. Say why? Because I'll get it first and read it and tell her whether she can answer it or not. Say, oh, I bet you your daughter's not happy. Take one look at her face. You'll find out she's happy. Can I tell you why? I've protected her from a lot of junk. By the way, what's she needed for anyway? If somebody needs to contact my daughter and they won't do it through me, she doesn't need to talk to them anyway. Just the way I live. Say, well, we were getting her a checking account here about a year ago, a little less than a year ago. And everybody at the bank there knows me. And they said, well, Melinda, what's your email account? She said, don't have one. And the lady looked up. She said, Pastor, I said, no, she doesn't have one. You can use mine. She said, boy, is that hard? My daughter, no, why? She's 16. What does she need a cell phone for? Good night. When I started driving, okay, I'm going back a little ways here. My dad said, make sure you keep a quarter in your car so in case you need to make a phone call. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Now, for some of you, it was keep a nickel in your car or a nickel in your shoe. Amen, Brother Taylor? But the cost of living went up. Now, for those of you that aren't laughing, you don't even know what a payphone is. It's one of those antiques that used to sit on the side of the road that doesn't have anything in it anymore that says phone on it, all right? used to be, and by the way, you kept a quarter in your car, kept it in a little cup holder, or kept it in your glove box, or you kept a quarter somewhere, or you walked a really long ways or knocked on somebody's door and said, "Can I make a phone call?" You say, you would do that to your daughter? My dad and mom did it to me. And their mom and dad did it to them. Guess what? It worked for them, and they're still alive. Do you know my grandmother's 96 years old and has never had a cell phone? She lived a long time, and she did it without a cell phone. It's possible. Just so you know. Man, I'm having fun. Sin separates homes. Sin separates husbands and wives. Hey, what are you looking at that's causing trouble in your marriage? What sin are you participating in that's separating you and your wife? Sin separates parents and children. Those of you that have young children, listen to me very carefully. The older your children get, the harder it is. You say, well, my children behave in church. Yeah, they're 4 years old. They're 5 years old. That's real hard. Wait till they're adults and they have to behave in church. Wait till your children get older. Can I tell you something? The older your children get, the bigger the problems get. You know, when they fall down and all you got to do is kiss their boo-boo and everything's okay, those are the easy days. Wait till them kids get adults and they're driving and they're on their own and they're married and then they have problems. Trust me, adult children have adult problems. Adult problems are bigger than a skin knee that you kiss and say, "It's okay now, sweetie, all right." Those boo-boos don't go away as easily. And they have a right to look at you and say, "No, I'm not doing that," because they're an adult. Everybody doing all right? I know what I'm talking about here. Sin will separate you. Sin separates friends. Sin cost Jacob more than he thought he was going to have to pay. Can I tell you something? Sin always costs more than you think you're going to have to pay. It took 20 years of Jacob's life. 20 years of his life. Can I tell you something? Smoking those cigarettes is going to cost you more than just the cost of the cigarettes. Amen. It's going to cost you a whole lot more. There are billions of dollars being paid out every year just to purchase cigarettes. Let's look at the healthcare costs. Let's look at the work time that's lost. Every day I drive by a local nursing home here. Driving me nuts. The nursing homes now have made it to where they can't smoke on the property. All the employees leave the property, walk down around the corner, and they got a 5-gallon bucket set up to put their cigarette butts in because they go out there and sit down on the ground and smoke because they're not allowed to smoke on the property. Look how much work time is lost to people just smoking. Look how much it costs for drunkenness in America today. To drink liquor. Not just the cost of the liquor. You say, "Well, yeah, it's getting expensive." I wouldn't know. That's what Brother Ron told me. I wouldn't know. But may I say this? Look how many accidents take place because of drunkenness. Look how many children and wives are hurt because dad comes home drunk and beats on them. Look at all the health care costs incurred because of drunkenness. By the way, you say, "Are you against people drinking alcohol?" Yes. Well, Jesus turned the water to wine. Yes. And if you read your Bible and understood your Bible, you'd find out that word wine means juice, not fermented juice. Jesus would have been sinning, according to Scripture, put a drunken bottle to anybody's lips. And Jesus did not sin. Can I tell you something? Not handling your finances right can be sinful. Wonder how much it's cost you because some of the sin of not handling your finances well has cost you. Did you know that adultery costs money? Man, it's amazing to me how much people mess their lives up because of adultery and fornication. Listen to me very carefully. The spoils gotten by sin are not as enjoyable and never satisfy. Oh, I can live however I want. Yeah, and you're going to pay the price over and over and over and over and over again. Sin separates man from God. If we went back all the way to the book of Genesis, man was created perfect, sinless. And at the first sin, you know what he did? Hid himself from God. God came down to walk with Adam and said, "Hey, Adam, where art thou?" He said, "I'm hiding." He said, "Why?" "Because I'm naked." He said, "Who told you?" He said, Adam, did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I love Adam's response. "Well, the woman that thou gavest me, it's her fault." "God, it's the wife you gave me. She made me do it." What a lame excuse. Not only was he blaming Eve, but he was blaming God for giving him Eve. Sound familiar? "Well, it's not my fault. It's my wife's fault." No, it's your fault. You listen to her. Or it's your fault because you didn't listen to her. Amen? Can I tell you something? Sin separates people from God. From that moment, man was separated from God. But from that moment, God sacrificed an animal, clothed man, gave him the gospel, and Adam and Eve received Christ as their Savior. That broken body of that lamb and the shed blood were a picture of what Jesus would do for them. And God gave them the gospel, and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen to this. The sacrifice saved nobody. It was a picture. Nobody got saved by a sacrifice. Read your Bible in Hebrews chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. It'll show you that. The sacrifices saved nobody. The Old Testament sacrifice was the same thing we do in the New Testament called the Lord's Supper. It was a picture of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Those sacrifices were bloodier because they were looking ahead to what Jesus would do. Now we look back at what Jesus did do. But sin separates us. Did you ever notice when you're in sin, you're not thinking about God? That's why rock music's dangerous. You don't think about God in your music. That's why wrong friendships draw you away from God. And I must hurry. Number two, Bethel was a place that Jacob met God. We won't take time to turn there, but Genesis chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, you find out that Jacob met with God at this place called Bethel. Can I tell you something? Church is a place for you to meet with God. It's not the only place, but this is a place you can come to and meet with God, meet with God's people, meet with the man of God, let him take the word of God and teach you about God. That's what church is all about. Church is a place to realize you're not spinning on this globe all by yourself. There's other people out there. Church is a place to learn others have it worse than you have it. Did you catch that? If you're saved, you have it better than any lost person in the world has it. I don't care what your condition. Folks, this church takes care of my wife and I well. Now, we're not rich, but you take care of us, and we thank God for that. But can I tell you something? Somebody's always got it worse than you've got it. How about you answer the letter that's sitting on my desk right now to a lady whose daughter was murdered and the grandchildren were taken away and given to sodomites? How about you answer that letter? my heart breaks, I've got it easy. I do. My wife and I met with a pastor this week, drove to meet a friend of ours and have a meal with him. Told me the story of a missionary and just the tragic story of what was going on there. Broke my heart. I can't even begin to reveal some of the things that take place. You think you got it tough? Well, I've got a house that's worth $300,000 and three cars, and my electric bill's $400 a month, and I'm having a tough time. God bless you. Sell one of your cars, you'll be okay. We only have six cell phones. I could only get four of the new iPhone 6s. I have two kids that only have an i5. Okay, and you're having it really hard. I'm so sorry. Church is a place for a man of God to help guide you. The word pastor means shepherd. Say, why shepherd? Because God compares Christians to sheep. You say, why? Because sheep aren't real smart. It's amazing how dumb people can be. Amen, Brother Mark? Visitors, just so you know, Brother Rogers has a sign his wife gave him. It says, "Ain't I dumb?" Can I tell you something? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone according to his own way. Can I tell you something? The farther you go on your own way, the worse it gets. Listen to me very carefully. This man of God is nothing special. I am a human being like you. I have dedicated my entire life to that book, what God says, preaching it and helping people, and have helped hundreds of thousands of people in the last 25 years. I have been in churches that have had millions of people total in attendance. And can I tell you something? I've learned a little something about helping people. I've learned something about people making bad decisions. I've learned how to help people make good decisions. I've watched people make bad decisions financially. I've helped people make good decisions financially. I've seen people, they're $50,000 in debt and they want to go out and buy a brand new $30,000 car. That's not real smart. What's your salary? $16,000 a year. You're in trouble. I've watched people lose their job, and to make them feel better, they go out and spend $10,000, $15,000, and they just lost their job. That's not time to spend money like that. You say, what is that? People acting like sheep. Not real bright. You need a man of God to stand up. The Bible says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. He's going to pat you on the head every once in a while, but he's going to kick you somewhere else every once in a while too. My daddy didn't always pat me on the head. He patted me somewhere else, and usually when he patted me there, it wasn't a pat. Well, did he warp your psyche? He didn't call it that, but he warped it a few times, let me tell you. Folks, church is a place to let the man of God help you with the Word of God so that you can grow, so that you can meet the God of the house of God. I'm going to make a statement here. You know, God doesn't dwell in these buildings. He doesn't. I've been in this building late at night when all the lights are out, and it creaks and pops and groans and moans, and it can be a little, and believe me, it's not God. Brother Joe Lopez was church janitor for many, 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 many years for several different churches. He was doing work in here late one night. He said, "Preacher, did you know that building's a little creepy in the dark?" "Yeah, I do." "We've been in a lot of creepy buildings, Brother Joe, but this one kind of tops them all. It makes all kinds of weird noises." These metal buildings, as it gets warm during the day, you'll hear it going pop, 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 pop everywhere. Don't worry, it's not a popcorn popper. It's just the metal expanding. But boy, when nighttime comes and it starts getting cool, it does it in reverse. And then we have something in this area that few people have. It's called wind. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My wife and I met Brother Rick Walters for a meal this week. He was up in Pennsylvania, and we met him partway, and he said, "Man, it's windy." I said, "It is?" He looked at me and said, "Yeah." I said, "They said this is just breezy. We hadn't even got wind yet." He said, "Man, if it was like this in Maine, everybody'd stay in thinking we're having a hurricane." I said, "This is just regular day around here." I said, "We're so used to it, we don't even recognize it." Folks, you add the wind to all that, this building gets a little creepy. Can I tell you something? God doesn't dwell here. The Bible says once you get saved, the Holy Spirit rebirths your spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that moves inside you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God dwells inside of you as a believer. God doesn't meet with you because of this place. Did you know you can meet with God at home? You can meet with God in your car. Some of you need to the way you drive. And some of you need to the way others drive. Amen, Brother Ray? You truck drivers, man, I pray for you. I pray for everybody else, but I do. You say, why? Because you're on the road. It scares me. I pray for you, for God to help you. Can I tell you something? You may need to wrestle with God like Jacob did at the house of God. Some of you are holding on to some sins. And you're wrestling with it. You're wrestling with God, and your pride's keeping you away. Can I tell you something? We all do that. This old altar is here. It fits all knees, just so you know. Red and yellow, black and white, old, young, skinny, and not so skinny. I heard a preacher say this week he was on a weight loss program. It started in his chest and went to his waist. By the time he died, he was hoping it was going to come out his toes. Amen? That's kind of where I'm at. I'm hoping not to lose the weight. It's just sagging all the way. Hopefully gravity takes over and it comes out my feet. Now, my feet might be size 60 by the time I get done, but folks, you're to come to the house of God not because you're perfect, because you're not. You're supposed to come to the house of God because this is a place to learn how to wrestle with God and get things right with your God. Did you know something? Somebody's going to stand and sing in our church that was a sinner. Did you know one sang today? You could tell she was a real bad one. No, she's not. But did you know what? There's going to someday stand behind this pulpit that wasn't as pure as you think you are. But guess what? Same gospel saved them. Same gospel saved them. Now, if they were in the bar last night, they're not going to sing in church tonight. This isn't Johnny Cash stuff. Singing in the honky-tonk on Saturday night and church house on Sunday morning. No, they're going to be living as right as they can. But guess what? All of us are sinners. This isn't a museum to display talent. It's a hospital to help the hurting. Yes, lastly, and I'm done. Meeting with God at Bethel will cause you to make vows. Jacob made some vows. Jacob promised God not to follow idols, but he allowed his family to have them. You say, why? Because he got away from Bethel. He married people that he should not have married because he got away from the house of God. He promised to be faithful to God. Can I tell you something? The more you're at church, the easier the Christian life will become for you. Oh, that Christian life, it's just so hard. Folks, I've seen what the world does to people. Living in the world's hard. Build your life around this church. Be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, oh, you preach the same sermon. No, I don't. Some of you think I preach the same sermon tonight as I preached this morning. I don't. It's totally different. You say, why? Because you need something different. Bethel became El Bethel. Jacob stayed away 20 years, but he longed to go back. Some of you have been out of church for a while. Some of you are afraid to come back to church. Can I tell you something? Come on back. The water's fine. God didn't leave. It's the same sweet presence of God. I've been in sin and God wouldn't have me back. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you back more than you want to be back. When Jacob came back, can I tell you something? He didn't come back and say, oh, wow, yeah, this is the place. This is the place where it all happened. No. Do you know what Jacob came back and said? Yeah, this is the place. Brother Matt, it's not the place. It's the same God. It's not the place. It's the God of Bethel. It became from Bethel to El Bethel, the God of the house of God. May I say it, it's not just that it's Grace Baptist Church, it's the God of Grace Baptist Church. My family and I were back where I grew up in Canton, Ohio. There was at one time one of the top three largest churches in America was being built in Canton, Ohio. Had high days of over 10,000 people in church. Massive buildings. At one time, a beehive, over 100 bus routes being run at one time. Just an amazing work. We were there and the kid said, Dad, can we go see it? I said, sure. We drove in, walked in, searched around to try to find somebody to open up the auditorium, the old auditorium. The old auditorium probably sat close to 5,000 people. Brother Mike, I walked into that auditorium and there was drum sets, electric guitars. It was sick. They have their praise and worship services now with their rock music. It's a rock and roll church. It's a show. But standing there was Brother Henniger's old pulpit. I wept. I thought the old man would croak knowing what's going on. He would throw an ever-loving, unholy fit right now. My grandmother's funeral, my dad's mom's funeral, I went back and preached, and Brother Henniger came to the calling hours. I talked to Brother Henniger. He was in his 80s. He asked me where I was, who I was at first, and oh yeah, man had an incredible memory. He forgot nothing. Names, he knew everybody. He looked at me, tears ran down his face. Brother Henniger was a tall, stately fella. I'm guessing Brother Henniger was, what, 6'2", 6'1", at least. Just a stately gentleman. He said, Brother Craig, my son and the people that took over after him at the temple, they've destroyed my church. He bent over and put his head on that shoulder right there and began to cry like a child. I was in my mid-30s, early to mid-30s. Pushed himself up and looked at me, took that old bony finger that I had seen pointed many a time in my face and said, don't you change. Don't you change. He said, if all the temple ever put out was you, don't you change. I said, don't worry, Brother Henniger, I'm not changing. By the way, I've kept a promise. I'm preaching the same thing he preached. Say why? Same book he preached. But I saw that podium, that pulpit, sitting in that auditorium, and I thought, what sacrilege. I told my wife, like to run up there and grab a hold of that thing, put it in my car, and take it home and rescue that thing and put it in a church that's going to do something that God wanted done behind that piece of wood. I did. I wanted to rescue it. Wasn't the place. That pulpit used to see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved. Used to hear the word of God proclaimed from the top of it. Now it has to endure rock music and filth and garbage. The things we do in this church are not for this church. They're for God. They're for God. If you're going to serve in this church, can I tell you something? Do it for God, not to make a show. If you're looking for somebody to pat you on the back and burp you because of what you did, look at me. You're in it for the wrong reason. Now I'll pat you on the back and burp you as much as I need to, but may I say this, why can't you just do it for God? Can I tell you something? You don't get to God through me. You get to God on your own. Oh, I can come and tell you what I've done. I'll help you with your problem. But you telling me all the wrong you did isn't going to fix anything. I was counseling a preacher just in the last week. And I said, Doc, I don't know what the problems are. I don't know what the problems are. I don't want you to tell me what the problems are. I said, because if I know, I still can't change what happened. But how can I help you personally? That's what I'm interested in. And he said, Brother Bush, thanks for not asking. I said, I don't want to know. He said, that's so refreshing. He said, that's already helped me. I said, well, me knowing isn't going to change it, so why do I need to know what the negative is? I want this church to want the God, not just the place. I want our people to know God. That's what my goal for you is. Let me ask you a question. If you die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? If not, can I tell you something? According to that book, you can know that for sure. And it, by the way, it's not joining this church. It's not getting baptized. It's not living a good life. It's accepting what Jesus Christ did for you and that alone. It's that simple. I did it as a 4-year-old child. Remember it like it was yesterday. By the way, did it in the man's church who wept on my shoulder. Remember it quite well. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe it's time for you to join a church like this. Old-fashioned? Yep. Independent? Yep. Fundamental? Temperamental? Soul-winning? Baptist? Yep, that's what we are. Hold no punches. Say, are you going to preach on my sin? Probably. You stick around long enough, we'll hit it. And if it's not, it's because I didn't know about it. I'll figure it out one of these days. Huh. Maybe you've been a member of this church since it started. But it's just a building to you. Maybe you need to make this place El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say today, preacher, if I died, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I don't have any doubts at all. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you. I would never do that. But in the Bible says that we should make an invitation for people. Compel people. I will not force. I will not come to you. I will not make any pressure on you. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, preacher? I've been like Jacob. I've been away. Been running. Maybe I've even been at church, but I've been running while I'm at church. There's some things I've been running from that I need to get back to. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. Maybe you just need to meet with the God of the house of God. There's a relationship for you to get back between you and your God. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. As the music begins to play, if you need to make your way to this altar, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We'll take care of that today. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, we can take care of that today. Maybe you just need to come and use this altar and talk to your God for a while.